Hello, everyone, and welcome to Gather for Good Community Podcast. My name is Priscilla Dyer, and I'm here in lovely Central Park, sitting with Albie Tello, social worker and PhD student extraordinaire. And today we're going to talk about something that we need to talk about more often, actually, and that is self-care. So, Albie, I'll speak for myself. It's been a stressful week, month, year, decade, I don't know. So let's talk about how we can care for ourselves in stressful environments and stressful times.
For sure. So number one, and I swear by this rule, everybody that knows me knows, get your bedtime in order. If you need to go to bed by 9, 10 p.m. the latest, turn off your phone. You know, we all have iPhones, right? Use that nice little do not disturb function. If you have family or kids, and you certainly need to be available for emergencies, and make sure to only add your favorites and people that you really need to hear from in case, you know, God forbid something happens, add them to that list. Otherwise, do not leave your phone on. You'll be buzzing all night with Twitter and Facebook and texts, and that will definitely disrupt your sleep. And we need to sleep in order to function.
All right, so I may have a problem because I have an issue with putting my phone down at night. So what are the little tricks of the trade that we can do to ensure that we're not lying in our beds looking at text messages or, you know, who's commented on our Facebook page?
So I swear by this thing called off the grid. So I've recently implemented off the grid Sundays, but if you cannot dedicate an entire day where I literally do an 8-hour shift of no phone, no internet, no Instagram, Facebook, nothing, I really recommend you do this an hour before bedtime, because I know we have that habit of sitting there and scrolling, laying in our bed, but that's really not going to help you sleep, especially the light of the iPhone and just stimulating your brain that way. Instead, what I like to do before bed, I like to read. Old-fashioned book helps me.
Something relaxing? Something boring that'll make you sleep?
Just something, to kind of just change, you know, switch my brain over to relaxation and sleep mode.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. I've actually started off the grid weekends where I literally shut off all social media, all electronics as of Friday night, and I don't look at any of that stuff until Monday morning, and it's really made a huge difference.
That's great. That's great. And also, don't forget power naps. Never underestimate the power of a power nap, especially after work, if you want to go out during the weekends. Just a quick 20, 30-minute nap can really help revive your energy.
Okay. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Speaking of power, we need to really focus on eating. I know sometimes we get too busy, we skip breakfast, skip lunch, do not skip meals. I actually eat very frequently. I try to eat at least 6 times a day. We all know breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but definitely make sure you get some veggies, some fruit, stay away from, you know, some, it's okay to treat yourself, especially now in the summer, some ice cream and things like that. But definitely take multivitamins, even as adults. You should really be taking multivitamins, and things like fish oil, vitamin C will help you from, you know, keep you from getting sick.
Another thing that's been coming up a lot on social media is this push to sort of have a more vegetarian lifestyle. There's so many posts about meat being unhealthy for you, about, I just saw a post the other day about there actually being feces in ground beef. So there's a push to, you know, embrace this vegetarian sort of vegan lifestyle, which is amazing, but I think a lot of people aren't ready to go there yet. So what are some of the things that we can do to kind of ease into that, or at least, you know, make our existing eating habits a little more healthy?
Well, it's easy to ease into. I actually was vegetarian for 11 years, and I actually just crossed back. So I actually don't eat any red meat at all. I just eat, you know, try to stick to just turkey, chicken, and fish. So definitely just being mindful of red meat especially, or trying to buy organic when you can. Things that are really important to buy organic are milk and eggs, you know, especially cage-free products. Cheeses, you know, can do. There's specific food that you should really buy organic. There's a lot of grass-fed meat also. I know it does tend to get a little pricey, but places like Trader Joe's tends to be a little bit more affordable than, you know, Whole Foods.
I've started embracing juicing. It actually makes a huge difference. That alone makes a huge difference in your energy level and just how you feel overall. So, yeah. One day, maybe I'll be a vegetarian, but not today. Another thing that I think is really important, and I'm guilty of this myself, is that, you know, especially if you are the primary caregiver or someone that is the go-to person when other people in our lives have problems, we're the person that everyone leans on, we tend to hold in our own problems, and we don't ask for help from individuals that are in our lives that could probably, you know, pitch in and make our burden a little lighter. So I would say sharing or reaching out to our networks when we really are feeling overwhelmed or feeling that we just need someone to talk to. I mean, we're human beings. We can't, you know, be the superhuman person that everyone comes to, and we don't have someone to sort of unload on ourselves. And some issues are deeper than speaking to our friends and our families. If, you know, if we feel that we need to speak to a professional, to be open to that. And I think a lot of us in the, you know, communities of color, you know, culturally, we're not sort of encouraged to speak to psychologists or social workers or counselors. And it's, you know, it's a shame. We're missing out on, you know, on healing ourselves, an amazing healing tool. So I think that especially people of color need to start embracing healing themselves. And if we're unable to do that through these, you know, practices of, you know, healthier living, then to, you know, to really embrace reaching out to a professional that may be able to, you know, help us with our deeper issues. So,
for sure.
Yeah. So sharing is caring.
Yes, definitely.
Embrace failure is another thing that a lot of us, especially type A personalities, I'm sort of borderline type A, OCD,
yes,
ADD, all of those issues. So, you know, we tend to be our worst critics. So, you know, we don't have to be perfect all the time. And, you know, just in the act of trying, and even trying and failing is a success, because at least you're embracing or trying to realize some sort of goal, as opposed to sort of, you know, resting on our laurels and just playing it safe. Sometimes it means trying and failing and finding another way or finding a better way to do something. So embracing failure and not even considering a failure, just saying, okay, well, I tried that. I've learned something new.
Right.
Let me move on and try something else. Or maybe that's not the road I need to take. Let me,
right,
you know, choose another route. And ultimately, you're not in competition with anybody. You're just trying to be a better version of yourself. And I think once you have that mindset, you're less inclined to kind of look in the other lanes next to you to see how everyone else is doing, and sort of embrace your own progress, and, you know, and know that you're, as long as you're moving forward, you're succeeding. So,
definitely.
Yeah. So embrace failure. Or failure is success. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Failure can be a success.
Well, going along with that, embracing failure, we can also see that as taking risks, right?
Yes.
Which brings me to the most, I think, important point in healthy living is exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to get into these boring routines. We go to the gym. We don't know what to do. You always need to go with a plan in mind. First of all, I work out always in the morning before work. I think it's the best. A lot of research shows the best time to work out.
You guys, Albie is a workout fiend.
Yes, I am.
I'm not even going to pretend. Every single morning, Albie's at the gym, or there's no gym to be found. And even then, I'm sure she finds some way to get her workout in.
Yes, I'll either go for a run. I try to mix it up, and I try to take risks definitely right now at the gym. I'll try to go a little bit heavier in weight, or just try some moves or something that I've never tried before. Zumba is really fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I recently tried spin class. Just try to always switch it up.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely you need to work out. You will feel a difference if you're like having a bad day at work and you just go out and just go for a quick 10-minute walk.
Mm-hmm.
Your body's going to release those toxins and you'll just instantly feel better. So that is super, super important.
And if you're someone who hasn't like moved at all aside from getting from one place to the next, you can start out really slow. I mean,
mm-hmm,
a lot of us are at our desks from 9 to 5, and just the act of standing up in front of your desk and, you know, walking back and forth or doing stairs at work is a good way to start to kind of, you know, keep yourself moving, because we don't realize that when we sit still for hours, we're actually hurting ourselves, because, you know, blood clots can form.
Yeah.
We can end up with circulation issues. So start slow. You don't necessarily have to, you know, get a gym membership, and, you know, I just got a gym membership.
Good.
And which is a good thing, but sometimes we need to start slow and not sort of, you know, set the bar too high, because sometimes we end up doing nothing.
Right.
And I've been guilty of that too.
Or even just with emailing, right? Rather than emailing your coworker down the hall, get up and walk to your coworker's desk. I mean, they'll be happy to see you, because nobody really does face-to-face contact anymore, right? Everyone's on
email.
True.
That's
but that'll
true.
Get you to move and stretch your legs a little bit.
That's true. Okay, so, let's talk about how other people label us and how we label ourselves. You know, I think, you know, maybe it's because I'm now officially what they call middle-aged.
I don't know
what that means. I don't think it applies to me. But I think that we get so caught up in how society sees us that we sort of, you know, let things that we're passionate about or things that we've always wanted to explore kind of fall by the wayside. Like, you know, have you always wanted to dance, or, you know, or acting something you may want to try? I'm not telling you to, you know, to run off and join the circus. You know, don't quit your job and join the circus. But if there's something that you've always wanted to try, or something that you do as a hobby that you may want to expand into, maybe, you know, a second career, why not do that?
Right.
Why not do that and try to sort of fulfill all the little parts of ourselves that make make us happy, you know? So take a dance class. You know, maybe it's too late for you to be a professional dancer, but take a dance class. Take an acting class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are improv courses and all kinds of fun things you can do. And, you know, and it's never too late for you to take another career path as well.
Right.
So if you're, you know, like me, a little older, and you're feeling like, okay, what do I want to do with the rest of my journey? Don't be afraid to put yourself out there and try something new.
Definitely.
You know, it's never too late to learn something. It's never too late to do something that will fulfill you. And ultimately, it's about making yourself happy. It's not about how other people see you. It's how you envision yourself and what you envision your life to be. So, yeah. So, diversify your identity.
Yeah. We have a lot of career changers in social work, actually.
Yeah.
We get a lot of career changers. I'm not telling everybody to go be in social work, but for some reason, people will come from business or some pretty lucrative careers and decide that that's not what they no longer identify with, or just no longer makes them happy.
Yeah. I think ultimately people want to live deeper, richer lives, and they feel that they need to give back somehow. And social work seems to be one of those careers that can be anything you want it to be.
Definitely.
So you find a lot of folks from business are going into your line of work, Albie.
Yeah.
Speaking of,
what else? Identity. One of my favorites, express the child in you. So we all get those AM New York free papers they hand out. They actually have a lot of really good suggestions for free activities.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them I recently discovered and I'm going to try is they have free kayaking here in the city on Pier 26, right on the Hudson River. It's 20 minutes.
How deep is that water? I can't swim.
I mean, I don't know how clean that water is, but let's face it. It's totally something fun, totally different. I mean, when else are you going to go kayaking? So trying things like that, even just coming to the park, right? We always associate going to the park with when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Just doing things that you really enjoyed as a kid. Jump rope, just basic. Just kind of just letting go and being free, going to a museum. Things like that. So definitely express the inner child in you.
And laugh, folks.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, I'm notorious for making a joke out of things that aren't really funny, but ultimately, it's the healing balm when you're able to laugh about things that are not exactly funny. But, you know, and to surround yourself with people that kind of bring out that laughing until you cry. And I have a few friends, that are, including this one sitting right next to me here. It actually makes you feel good. When you laugh, you actually feel a little lighter and there's a little less anxiety. So, yeah. So surround yourself with people that are a little silly and that are willing to do silly things and all these, you know, little activities out there that will make you happy. Go kayaking. Take a dance class. Go watch a comedy show. Anything. Just have fun. Just have fun. Now let's talk about those folks. You know those folks that take?
Yeah.
And you're a giver like me, so what do you say to those folks out there that constantly give, and are surrounded by folks that do nothing but take from them all the time? What's your advice to them?
You definitely need to implement major boundaries you know, especially depending on your culture. So my family, you know, we're very enmeshed, so to speak. We're always all up in each other's business and calling every day and what's going on with this. And, you know, sometimes you need to step back. Even, you know, even though I was raised, you know, you need to, you know, my mom always raised me, you have to always tell us everything, you know, call us every day, anything that you need. Sometimes you just need to kind of set that limit. Like, mom, you can't call me 6 times a day. Once a day is okay, or a little email or a little text, but sometimes it gets a little bit overwhelming, especially with your friends that always have that drama. Honey, 1 time a day, or if you're just not ready for it, if you just can't, if you're just one of those days that you just don't want to hear it, you know, you need to say...
Then say so.
You know, let me just... Can I call you tomorrow, or let's set up a date for the end of the week, or something like that, but you definitely need to know when enough is enough, because it is very draining.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they always say that you should have, you know, always have your cup at least half full, but
yeah.
I truly believe your cup needs to be full,
yeah.
overflowing,
yeah.
because if you're the type of person that's always giving of yourself and you're surrounded by people that need you all the time, then if they take all of that, there's nothing left for yourself, you know, and then you will crash and burn.
For sure.
I've done that several times
for
in my
sure.
life. So, yeah. So to know when you're on low, like you said, and to be able to say, I'm sorry, like, you know, I know you're going through something.
Right.
I'm here for you, but today I'm having a bad day. Can
right.
we talk about it tomorrow?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Just saying no. No is a very powerful word.
Yeah.
That we don't use as much as we should.
Yeah, yeah. And what about those folks that aren't willing to, you know, to respect our boundaries?
You know, that's where you get to the point where you need to walk away. Right, so we're always changing, and you know, we've had friends forever, and sometimes, you know, you need to recognize when something no longer serves you, whether that's a job,
mm-hmm.
a friendship, a romantic relationship,
mm-hmm.
just anything in general. You need to kind of figure out where's the end of the road for you and whether or not this is going to make you happy, because ultimately it's what it comes down to, right? If you're
yeah.
not happy, then what are you really living for, right? Because
yeah.
money comes and goes, right?
Exactly. And not everyone's meant to be in your front row. I know
yeah,
that's a
definitely.
You know, kind of cliche, but you know, the people that are closest to us should be the ones that actually nurture and support us the most. And, you know, it's good to have other people in our lives, but we need to know at which, you know, how close they need to be in our lives in order for us to be healthy and for us to be able to support them as much as we can. So I always say not everyone's meant to be in your front row, and I take that very seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they're, like you said, if they don't respect those boundaries, some people just can't be a part of your life.
Of course not.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the most important thing.
Yes. This is my favorite. Right? So nourishing your spirit. And spirituality has a different definition and meaning for everyone. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just went to this retreat, Zen meditation, you know, in California. It was a little far out there for me. As fabulous as it was. You know, you have to recognize what level or what you're comfortable with when it comes to meditation and spirituality. Some people love to go to mass. Some people just like to sit by themselves. There's a lot of techniques that you can use, but it's just basically finding what
mm-hmm.
soothes you and what calms you down, right?
Exactly.
And my big thing is really unplugging, right? So I mentioned off the grid
mm-hmm.
before, but you really need to unplug and just be present
mm-hmm.
in the moment. I love to people watch, for example. Like, sitting in the park here, this is so much fun. Like, I'm just watching. I'm listening, and I'm, like, watching everybody walk by. Not that I'm looking at what they're wearing, but just, like, being present. What are they wearing? What's their body type? Their hair is, you know, it's just beautiful hair. Just enjoying
yeah.
the basics.
Being in the moment. You and I spoke about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Actually paying attention and being in the present and actually, like, you know, there are birds out here. You can actually
mm-hmm.
hear them singing. You can, you know, you hear some drumming in the background. There's some music playing in the park. We're so busy thinking about worrying about the past
mm-hmm.
and, you know, what am I going to do tomorrow and what's my plan for the future that we don't pay attention to what's right in front of us. And sometimes
Definitely.
We do that, you know, in our relationships. You
yeah.
know, we're, you know, there's so many little commercials and funny videos on online of people that are, you know, sitting with their loved one and they're both on their iPhone,
on their phone.
You know,
yeah.
their phone, you know, texting or whatever it is.
Of
and,
course.
You know, time's just passing them by and those moments when they should be sort of, you know, spending time with each other and having real conversations. So, yeah. So important to be in the moment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, what you were saying about, you know, faith and practice and meditation, a lot of people think that's a little too, you know, hippy-dippy for them. You know, I'm part hippie, so I'm all about it. Reiki, meditation, all that. I'm all over it. But if you're not the type of person who's religious, and I'm not, but spiritual or has no spiritual practice, there are a lot of different ways to be mindful. I just recently discovered that coloring, like there are actually adult coloring books. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Jennifer Delgado. I actually saw that posted on her Facebook page. And it's a way of sort of, you know, quieting your mind. And it's therapeutic to actually, you know, sit there as an adult and color. Yeah. So there's all these different ways, listening to music, you know, so it doesn't have to be about praying or transcendental meditation and all that. If that's too much for you, just find that quiet space to kind of take it down, be present in the moment, and just not think of all the things that are worrying you. I think that's a good place to start. So what else is there? Anything else that we need to talk about? Something tells me this is just part one. We're just doing an overview, but I feel like we need to do this periodically to kind of remind ourselves. This is as much a note to self as it is a note to you guys.
Now that I just sighed, you have to think about breathing. I think we always forget about breathing, and that's the most basic form of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just paying attention to your breath, right? Some of us are deep breathers. We don't even count the seconds, right? And making sure that when you inhale and exhale, it's the same amount, 2 or 3 seconds, whatever it takes. Just that will automatically soothe you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very basic. It's a long process, but once you get into that mode and putting yourself first, I think, is what you need to do, ultimately. Selfish as that sounds, but this is New York.
No, it's not selfish. I think it's the best thing you can do, especially if you're, like yourself, you're a social worker. If people are, if they're doing work in their communities or they have loved ones that depend on them, I think the best thing you can do for them is to put yourself first.
Definitely.
And to love yourself first and foremost, and it just helps you with whatever it is that you're doing out there. So, So, unfortunately, we have to get back to, I won't say unfortunately. We have to get back to work.
Yeah.
Gotta pay the bills.
Fabulous walk back.
Yeah, but thank you so much for listening. And if you guys have, other things that you do that help you to kind of maintain your calm, please feel free to share. We'd love to hear from you. And maybe we'll even expand on some of those things if enough of you are doing those things. So thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Al Vitello.
Anytime. Happy to be here.
For joining us.
We hopefully have more lunch dates.
Thank you guys, and we hope you'll listen in again with us soon. Take care and have a great day.